June 2025, Jim Farley, CEO of Ford, announces, "If we lose this, we do not have a future Ford." He had just taken a tour in a Chinese EV factory, and he described it as the most humbling thing he's ever seen. Ford is losing the EV race, and badly. Chinese EVs, however, are better, made quicker, and at a fraction of the cost. Ford has been around for 120 years. They have more plants, more experience, and more money than anyone. But Chinese automakers control about 70% of global EVs. Even Tesla is getting destroyed by them. So why is Ford, with so much history, experience, and money, getting beaten so badly? And will Ford really die if it loses this battle?
And if we lose this, we do not have a future, Ford.
Why is Farley so unsettled? Well, we have to take a look at what he saw inside those Chinese factories. He realized the gap went far deeper than just the batteries. Let's start with technology. Farley noted that Chinese manufacturers have mastered in-vehicle tech in a way the West hasn't even approached.
They have far superior in-vehicle technology. Huawei and Xiaomi are in every car. They have facial recognition.
Meaning cell phone technology.
Yes. Yes.
Connected to their cell phones.
Yes, you get in, you don't have to pair your phone. Automatically, your whole digital life is mirrored in the car. You have an AI companion that you can talk to, ChatGPT equivalent in China, to your, all the automatic payment is already there. You can buy movie tickets. It has facial recognition, so it knows who's in which seat and which media you like.
Wait, why don't Ford cars have that? Would you need to deal with Apple or?
Yeah, because Google and Apple decided not to go in the car business.
You can feel how humbling this was for Farley. In the US, we're still relying on Apple CarPlay and Google Android Auto. But these don't even compare to China, because it seems like the tech giants in China are the car business. Xiaomi, for one, is the third largest phone maker on earth, and they're also making EVs, but that was just the tip of the iceberg. Let's start with subsidies. Chinese automakers like BYD have massive government support behind them. In fact, the Chinese government has offered support for EVs as far back as 2009. Tax breaks for EV development, tax incentives for lower prices, even subsidies for trade-ins when upgrading to a new EV. Germany ended their EV subsidy program in December 2023, and New Zealand, France, and Sweden also followed suit. And of course, Trump ordered the EV subsidies to end. China is also phasing them out, but unlike the US or other Western countries, it's a very slow process, with subsidies slowly decreasing over the course of many years. They are likely to be provided until the end of 2027 if they aren't extended even further, but by then, Chinese automakers shouldn't even need them because of how cheap they are. GM's Chevy Equinox is one of the cheapest models available in America, listed at $35,000. But only after a $7,500 tax break. Compare that to the BYD Seagull, a compact electric hatchback that sells for as little as $10,000 in China. That price for an EV, or any new car for that matter, is unheard of in the Western auto industry. But that's not even the strangest part. It doesn't feel like a $10,000 car. The US has struggled to keep up with China, who regularly produces cheap and affordable cars. In fact, throughout 2023 and 2024, Chinese car prices have been dropping by up to 9%. The US market just can't compete with this, but it goes beyond government support. What truly frightened Farley is the manufacturing efficiency and cost. Chinese manufacturers are extremely efficient and try to keep as much of production in-house as possible, with less reliance on suppliers. Manufacturers are often very close together, making the highly complex automotive supply chain cheaper and quicker. EVs in China launch models in about 18 months, but for legacy automakers like Ford, it's about 5.4 years. This allows BYD and other companies to have a different philosophy. They're playing to win the long game, even if it means losing now. They lose more money early in production, but as things ramp up, they quickly reach economies of scale, where costs are spread across more units. Legacy automakers do also do this, to an extent, but China seems to be much more aggressive about it. It's a massive bet, and to be honest, it could fail with how many cars are being produced. But one thing's for sure, they aren't losing in market share. In just 5 years, foreign car makers saw their grip on China completely fall apart. They went from controlling over 60% of the market in 2020 to barely holding 30% by 2025. And this reveals something fundamental about the industry. Ford, Tesla, and other foreign automakers are effectively being evicted from the world's largest car market. And now, those same Chinese companies are exporting that dominance. 6 of the 10 of these brands are Chinese. In 2023, China surpassed Japan to become the world's largest car exporter, shipping over 5 million vehicles. By 2024, BYD actually surpassed Tesla in annual global battery EV sales. But the real threat is their spare capacity. China currently has the ability to build about 40 million cars a year, but their domestic market only buys about 20 million. That leaves 20 million extra cars looking for a home. This battle goes much further beyond EVs.
We are in a global competition with China, and it's not just EVs. And if we lose this, we do not have a future Ford.
Perhaps the scariest part of this for US automakers is that China's efficiency and cost can carry over to all automotive segments. US automakers are panicking, but why does Ford feel so far behind? What's holding them back? If they have so many resources and history behind them, why can't they compete with new upstarts? With more people vibe coding and creating more mass-produced yet unstable code, knowing the fundamentals today is more valuable than ever. The median salary for backend developers in the US in 2024 was over $100,000. Programmers who know fundamentals and have written a ton of it are needed more than ever, and that's where Boot.dev comes in. Boot.dev teaches backend programming from start to finish by having you write real code based on real-world projects in Python, SQL, and Go. But they realized the smartest way to learn code is to ensure you're never bored, so they designed it like a video game. The problems are presented like an RPG. You'll be asked to change health bars, damage calculations, and even code a Pokedex. Each lesson is bite-sized, fun, and as someone who's played RPGs like The Witcher or Baldur's Gate, I felt very at home. In fact, while using it for this sponsorship, I genuinely lost track of time because the lessons are so addictive. Over 900,000 people have signed up to Boot.dev, and tens of thousands of lessons are completed every single day. And if you're not happy, they have a 30-day refund policy, no questions asked. Go to boot.dev with the URL below, or scan the QR code on screen, and use code LOGICALLYANSWERED to get 25% off your entire first year on the annual plan. Thank you to boot.dev for sponsoring this video. So, why can't Ford just copy what China is doing? You would assume Ford's 120 years of experience is their greatest weapon. But in this specific fight, that heritage is actually their biggest weakness. Ford is carrying a century of baggage that new, agile competitors simply don't have. Developing EVs requires enormous upfront capital, and Ford committed to spending a staggering $50 billion on its electrification push through 2026. But spending money is easy. Making it back is the hard part. In late 2023, Ford's EV division, Model E, was reporting losses of over $1.3 billion per quarter. Pretty much every single EV they made was losing money, and these cars were often priced over $50,000. How are they losing this badly when they're this expensive? Well, Ford for many years has been making ICE cars. So their factories are designed for engines, not EVs. And that's where the problems start. While they might look similar outside, these two cars are entirely different machines inside. ICE cars have an engine up front, transmission down the middle, fuel tank at the back, exhaust running under the floor. An EV is more like a skateboard with a gigantic flat battery in the floor. Converting these facilities from one to the other is a logistical nightmare. It requires renegotiating with suppliers, retraining the workforce, and reworking machinery. For instance, Ford is spending billions to convert its Oakville plant in Canada from gas SUVs to EVs, but retooling this old plant alone will cost 1.8 billion Canadian dollars. This is why many companies build entirely separate factories for batteries and EVs. Yet, it gets even worse for Ford. Plants are one thing, but the labor costs inside them are another. Ford's workforce is heavily unionized under the UAW, which reached a boiling point during the strikes of 2023. After weeks of halted production, Ford agreed to significant wage increases to get the assembly lines moving again. Consequently, Ford's labor cost is now estimated to be around $85 to $90 per hour, including benefits. To put that into perspective, Tesla's labor cost sits at about $45 to $55 per hour. I'm not saying unions are bad, as this is clearly good for workers, but from a purely balance sheet perspective, Ford is starting every single production run at a massive cost disadvantage. And do you want to guess how much BYD's labor costs? Their staff costs account for 17.54% of revenue, or about 11,700 yuan per person, or $1,649. That translates to just $9 per hour, or literally 10 times lower than Ford. So if EVs are losing money and costs are sky high, how is Ford even financing this? Well, two factors. To fund these massive EV investments, Ford has had to rely heavily on leveraging its future. The company's debt has ballooned to $164 billion. Part of it came from a $9.2 billion low-interest loan from the US Department of Energy in 2023. But the other part is what's paying the bills right now. For over four decades, the Ford F-Series has been the best-selling truck in America. For 48 years. This thing is everywhere. It is the undisputed king of internal combustion vehicles. And as with their other ICE cars, it's what's keeping them alive. The profits from these massive trucks are what subsidize the billions of dollars being incinerated by EVs. If anything happens to the profitability of the F-Series, the entire company topples over. Ford finds itself caught in an expensive trap. It must transform to keep up with China, but the very efforts to do so are straining its finances. Jim Farley said, "I think we see the Chinese as the main competitor, not GM or Toyota. The Chinese are going to be the powerhouse." Bill Ford, the executive chair and a great-grandson of Henry Ford, also warned in mid-2023 that the United States was not ready to compete with China. They developed very quickly, and they developed them in a large scale, and now they're exporting them. They're not here, but they'll come here, we think, at some point. We need to be ready. He was right, and it still doesn't seem like Ford's ready. So what happens if Ford loses this battle? Could Ford actually die? It sounds impossible. I mean, this company was started in 1903. They've been automotive royalty for a century. They're the second largest automaker in America. They employ over 170,000 people, only behind GM. But is the end just around the corner? Will there really be no future Ford? Well, let's look at their financials. In Q3 2025, Ford's revenue was $50 billion, up from $46 billion in Q2 and $40 billion in Q1. In the big picture, they've been making more revenue every single year for 5 years. They also have massive amounts of cash on hand. All of this is from their lucrative hold on the ICE car market. The Ford F-150 series, the Explorer, the Maverick, they're just so big. But it's not all good news. They have even bigger debts and liabilities. $253 billion to be precise. $116 billion in just payable debt. Much of this has come from their bet on EVs, and their earnings have been a bit inconsistent. But I don't see Ford dying in a big crash and bankruptcy. Even if they did, they're just too big and employ too many, they'd get a bailout. But I think Farley is talking about a different type of future Ford. The death of Ford won't be a giant crash or bankruptcy. The more likely outcome is a gradual decline. Its global market share erodes, its influence wanes, from a juggernaut to a niche or regional player selling legacy trucks. And all of that hinges on whether EVs will replace ICE vehicles. But if they do, Ford will be in trouble. I will note that the West isn't sitting idle while Chinese EVs flood global markets. The US set a 25% import tax on car parts from China. Tesla then announced it wants its American cars built without any Chinese parts, and GM immediately followed suit. The European Union went even further, launching an anti-subsidy investigation and slapping tariffs as high as 38% on some Chinese EV models. This was driven by alarm over the flooding of low-cost Chinese electric cars that could hurt European automakers. This is the specific nightmare scenario Farley is fighting. The tariffs on Chinese imports might buy Ford a few years of breathing room, but only long enough to get their act together. Chinese automakers are already setting up production in Mexico, Thailand, and Hungary to sidestep trade barriers. BYD is also exploring US manufacturing, though I doubt they'll be able to produce cars priced at $10,000 over here. But maybe there's another angle that nobody's talking about. Viewing China purely as the enemy might be the wrong approach. Farley himself proposed a different path. We need to be more humble as a country. They do things really well that we need to learn, and how we learn is through joint ventures and cooperations and partnerships. We can't be so obsessed with China as an enemy that we aren't humble enough to set up those business structures to have people in those JVs that transfer the knowledge back to the home company, Ford. Speaking of being humble, I'm extremely grateful for all the support y'all have shown this channel over the years. We're closing in on 1 million subscribers, and I would really appreciate your help in making that a reality. Ford is already executing the strategy. They secured a deal to build an EV battery plant with China's CATL in 2023, and it was pretty controversial. Politicians have criticized it as handing American money to a Chinese competitor. But based on Farley's comments, maybe we'll see more of this? They need us. We have distribution systems and intimacy with our customers they don't know. They don't know how to make quality in a lot of countries. We do after 120 years. China has the technology and manufacturing prowess. But Ford has a century of brand equity, dealer networks spanning continents, and a deep knowledge of regulatory environments in dozens of markets. Perhaps being around for 120 years does account for something. The question is whether Ford can absorb what it needs to learn fast enough, but only time will tell. At least Ford is displaying humility. And don't forget, you can use code LOGICALLYANSWERED to get 25% off your entire first year of boot.dev using the URL below. Another legacy giant that's on the brink of bankruptcy after rejecting a bailout out of arrogance is Nissan. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.